What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat's replacement for the day, Murph.
Yeah, Pat is out sick. He's got the flu, so Murph's filling in for him today. But this is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. And Murph.
I produce content.
Yeah. But, you know, guys, life can be hard, and we can go through some things and struggle at times. But this podcast lets you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way before we introduce our awesome guest today. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout the show. NeuroGum is it's a chewing gum as well as mints. It's got caffeine, L-theanine, and B vitamins 6 and 12 in there. Helps with, you know, energy, focus, helps me, you know, get through my workouts. I'll chew it when I do CrossFit, whenever I'm driving around showing houses, you know, whenever I need just a quick little boost. It's got about 40 milligrams of caffeine. Just keeps me going throughout the day. I really, really do enjoy it. So get some NeuroGum and try it out.
Definitely big fan of all caffeine sources, but NeuroGum is really great, especially if you're someone who drinks coffee or energy drinks throughout the day. And then, hey, you're starting to taper off before you still have stuff to do at night. I do jujitsu typically in the evening, so I don't want to have a big energy drink or cup of coffee. One piece of NeuroGum gets me right, and I can still go to bed easy that night. Not to mention a big shout out to our sponsors over at Fit Flavors. Through the end of this month, using the code podcast50, you can go and buy yourself a digital gift card. And with that, you can actually get 50% off. So let's say you're like Pat, who recently bought a $1,000 gift card using the code podcast50. He was able to get it for $500 and still get $1,000 worth of meals. And I know me personally, I cook a lot, but when I don't, especially when I'm over here, I will definitely bash on their buffalo mac and cheese. It is in fact fire. It helps save a lot of time. And especially if you hate shopping, time and money.
Yeah, it's awesome. You can't go wrong with the Fit Flavors meals. It makes it so easy. You know, we had two of the girls that worked there on the show, and Maddie and Abby. And it was awesome. And one of the things that I really love about the kitchen is first of all, they're never frozen meals. It's always fresh. And so, you know, you do have to eat it within a week or so before it does go bad, which is awesome because it's fresh and you can taste that. And they only cook with three oils in their kitchen, which I really liked. It was avocado, olive, and coconut oil, which I think is really great. And, you know, especially I'm sure our guest today probably has an opinion on the seed oils and stuff that, is in just about everything. And, you know, we're finding out how bad that is for us. So,
yeah,
go check out Fit Flavors. Use promo code podcast50. Now we're going to introduce our guest today. He's a good friend of mine. I've known him since high school. We were fraternity brothers in college. He's a good friend of mine. He's helped me out personally. He is a doctor of chiropractic, the owner of Lux Chiropractic, the great and powerful Brett Lux.
Well, thank you for the introduction.
Of course. Absolutely, man. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we met, let's see here. In early high school, correct?
Yeah, so. I want to say it was like freshman or sophomore year. It was over at Ryan Hale's house. I think that was where I met you and your brother. So Brett has a twin brother that we were, that obviously I probably met them about the same time. But yep. You guys crack me up.
you and Brad, even back in high school, I think you guys wrestled each other at one point, didn't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we did actually. Because he was the 140 or 145. You wrestled too because you were what 52?
Yeah,
because you were a little bit bigger. Yeah, you were always a little bit bigger. And I think we met at Ryan Hale's house, and I mean we weren't like really good friends in high school, I wouldn't say, but then in college that's where we really became friends. You know, we actually lived together in the dorms for a year or half a year when I moved in.
That's
you guys
right.
With
yeah, you
Blair
came
Shannon.
In after me and Tia had left.
Yep. And I lived, and then we were roommates in the, well, I mean, not roommates in the fraternity house, but I mean, we're all in the same house. So it was kind of like we were roommates. And then at majors, I was thinking about this last night. I was like, man, because I lived across the street from you guys and, you know, you guys had like all the parties. So I was pretty much over there all the time and good times.
I never thought about that. Yeah, we were always right around each other.
Yeah,
holy cow.
I know. I was thinking about that last night. I was like just kind of recapping you. Yep. We came in preparation for the show, and I was like, you know, shit, we pretty much like almost lived together for like two straight years.
Yeah, right on.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, so you went to Missouri State?
I did, yes. Yeah. Missouri State. And I was only there for about 3 years. Left a little bit early to go into chiropractic school, of course. And like you said, you know, we were there for for quite a while. Really enjoyed our time.
What was the best bar in Springfield, in your opinion?
Oh man, the best bar. That's a good question. Let's see here. Bubbles was always a good one.
Yeah.
Boogie and Bubbles were connected, correct?
Right. I was raised in Boogie and Bubbles.
Why does my mind want to jump to Bubbles but not Boogie?
Well, Boogie was the back of it. I feel like Boogie's okay. Where we spent like all the time.
No, Boogie's the front of it.
Oh, no, Boogie's the front of it. You're
Bubbles
right.
Bubbles is the backside towards Zan. RIP to all three.
Yeah. I feel like we'd always go through the back.
And yeah.
Bubbles was a little bit more tame. Boogie was like, we're over here, we're getting messed up. And then Bubbles like, all right.
But it was the same fucking bar with like a hallway in between them. Yeah, you know, I never thought of them as separate places. Mm-hmm. They were just like we called it Boogie, but we were just in both of them. At least that's how I always thought about it.
Yeah. I just remember the smell every time you go in there, that extreme, just bleachy smell.
Yeah.
You knew they just took buckets of just bleach and just tossed them onto the floor.
They didn't always do that. They didn't always do that. They started doing that because they found black mold in there a few times before it changed ownership.
Really?
Yeah. I was there for like 6 years straight, man. And a lot of great, fuzzy, dirty, bleachy memories in that place.
Well, you know, Brett, let's just tell the people. I know. So you're when did you want to become a chiropractor? Tell us about that. Cause I remember you leaving Missouri State. I think it was our junior year.
Correct.
Yeah. You left junior year. Like I know you've had some, you know, I guess just kind of tell us why you became a chiropractor.
Absolutely. So I've always been kind of fascinated with just optimizing my health. I think that started quite frankly from, you know, wrestling, like we were talking about. Wrestling got me into working out. It got me into fitness. It got me really interested in the mindset of just really optimizing your lifestyle. And so one, I knew I wanted to work with the human body. And then two, I knew I wanted to work with people. So I didn't know how I wanted to do it. I know I didn't want to go in the medical route, not because I have anything against it. It just didn't really jive with kind of what my lifestyle was. You know, I mean, still see medical doctors, nothing wrong with it. Physical therapy, you know, I thought about it, but for some odd reason, I thought it'd be boring doing exercises all day. And so, but don't get me wrong, I still love physical therapy. So chiropractic, I don't have any miraculous story at the beginning. You know, I started chiropractic school, you know, I loved it, spent 3.5 years there during it after undergrad, and nothing really got me into it other than just an interest. It wasn't until after school, which we can talk about later, that really kind of changed my trajectory on how I practice due to just some serious health issues and everything.
Well, yeah, that was definitely one of the things I wanted to ask you about. I know you've had some health issues yourself, like particularly with your neck. You know, I was like curious if that was like a like your Spider-Man like origin story. You know, you got a neck problem and you're like, I got to become a chiropractor to save everybody else's neck.
So, most people are that way. Like, I swear I'd be in so many seminars in school and people would be on stage and they'd be like, I got into chiropractic because I was paralyzed and before I knew it, I got adjusted and now I love it. Or, you know, I had horrible neck pain and I wasn't playing sports and I wasn't doing this and that. I got adjusted. Then, you know, here I am now. I had no story, nothing until now. Took about, you know, 3 years after practice and I was ready to close shop because actually I called you one time.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, we talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, I was in such a low point because of my health that I remember I called Zach up one night and I just said, hey man, I was like, I remember specifically, I said, do you like what you do? And he's like, yeah, of course I do. And he's like, why, what's up? And I was like, thinking about changing careers. And he's like, what's going on? And I just said, I don't think I can do this anymore. I said, I like the profession, but my body just can't do it anymore. People don't realize, yes, we're getting people better, but we beat our body.
That's a lot of time you're hunched over and getting into weird tangled positions.
Yes. I mean, there's a reason why there's no malpractice insurance that exists for shoulder injuries for chiropractors.
Really?
No one will pay for it because all chiropractors blow their shoulders out.
Really?
Yes. They blow their labrums go out, and because you're constantly laying someone on their side and pressing into their pelvis, you know, back and forth. I don't even do that. You know, does it work well? Yes. But are there alternatives? Absolutely. You know, I have so many different, you know, alternatives I do to get my patients better. And that was the biggest thing because I was like, okay, either one, I push through this and get very minimal results with my patients, which I can't sleep at night that way, or I change careers. And so I called you.
Yeah, I remember that, man. Was that 3 years ago? Wow.
I don't know. I think it was a little, actually, I think it's more recent than you think.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude, because I remember I was standing in my, we were still at the old house. So I remember exactly where I was when we had that conversation. And I remember like,
It might have been a.
We hung up and I was like, dude, because I just know how much you love what you do and like how good you are at what you do. And I was like, whoa, dude, like I was just shocked. I remember like after we hung up, I was like, wow, I can't believe I just had that conversation with him. And I guess obviously you stuck through it and yeah. Moved into a new location and like all these other things. So I was like, man. I've gone through some low points in my career as well. And like, I've definitely like, man, is this really what I fucking want to do? Like dealing with, if you have a couple deals blow up or like you're just dealing with a couple shitty clients, like kind of back to back or like, just things happen in my industry that, it just like makes you question sometimes.
If this is what you want to do.
Just any industry.
Absolutely.
And, we've all go through our low times or whatever. And, obviously that was just a low time for you and dug out of it.
And that's why hanging out with like-minded people is so important, because you don't get stuck in that just void where you think you're the only person dealing with all this bullshit. 100%, know, when I listen to your guys' podcasts, when I talk to my chiropractic colleagues, I mean, even my dad, he's a business owner, he's a veterinarian, and we all know having reliable employees nowadays is difficult.
Yeah.
That's a soapbox.
I know. I've got a whole set of questions on that. Oh, God. I figured that's something I don't think you and I have ever talked about. But
it's a blessing in disguise.
It is. It's awesome, but it's also, boy, can it be a difficult thing.
Yeah. I definitely took advantage of it, and I'll toot my own horn. I'm an incredible trainer at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can train a staff quickly and very well. And I mean, I just have a library full of hundreds of videos on how to like train staff, but.
Well, not even just that, but I would imagine that because you're dealing with people who are injured or whose bodies are in disrepair, and I mean, I'm sure they're sitting there and probably complaining a little bit about how they got. I know I complained to my chiropractor and all my chiropractic friends, which you're a new one, but I'm sure that like carrying those stories along with you as well, like you're sitting, if I only get the minimal results that keeps me up at night, I'm sure that like kind of beats on you emotionally and physically and mentally after a while too.
So funny you're talking about this right now. So one of my buddies, he's a chiropractic consultant. He had a therapist come into his workshop a couple weeks ago. So anyways, again, my buddy's a consultant. He's got a bunch of us chiropractors. We fly in, we do a big, mastermind event. And the therapist is just talking to us about, mindset. And he said, people in the healthcare field, especially chiropractors, physical therapists, people working with their hands have some of the worst mental health, what he said. Like, wow, interesting. And he said, because you guys are very personal with the people and you guys take that home with you.
Yeah.
And even though you're getting people better, you only remember the ones that don't get.
Sure.
Which is so true. I mean, I had a patient this morning, in the mix of it, everyone else is doing great, but I've already forgotten about them. There's one man who has been seeing so many providers who's referred to me by one of my favorite providers. And I mean, still early on, we're going to get him better, but it's like, I want him better now.
Of course.
And so it takes a toll on you. It can, and people come in with their complaints and you're almost kind of like a therapist. You have to reverse that black cloud. And one thing I've noticed, and I've had to, is that the more blunt you are with people, in the long run, it's going to help out.
Yeah, dude.
Because
people don't like being bullshitted, man.
Exactly. So like at the beginning of practice, I'm like, oh, it's going to get better. Or you just got to keep, being compliant. And now and people love it. Like I had a patient a few months ago. He's like, yeah, I saw another chiropractor, but he wanted me to do this and that. And I just was like, no. I said, all right. So I was like, let's say his name's Joe. I was like, Joe, we're about 5 minutes into the exam. I'm going to tell you right now, I already know exactly what's going on. And what that chiropractor told you is 100% true. So I know for a fact you're going to need that. And if you already know for sure you're not going to do that, let's not continue this exam anymore. And of course he got up and he's like, oh, wow. He's like, Jesus. He goes, no one's ever before. And of course, stands up, goes to the front desk and prepays for the whole care plan.
Fuck yeah.
Good.
Because it just, people need to be told what to do. You know? I mean, I had another one a couple weeks ago and, I do a very unique technique. We can go over that later. It looks like the most bizarre technique. I mean, you lightly tap the neck and it affects the low back. And so I told this woman, she's like, I'm just really skeptical. I don't think this is going to work. And I just said, all right, from day one, you've been extremely skeptical. Okay. You need to understand that I would not give you these benefits or rather these recommendations unless I thought you were going to get better. And so I went on and explaining. And I just said, if you're not going to commit, I don't recommend you starting. And then, 4 weeks later, she's like, you made a believer out of me during her re-exam because She's getting better. Actually, she's in France right now. She texted our staff this morning because my staff's birthday was this morning today.
Oh, cool.
Happy and birthday. So now she loves it. And so, yeah, Grace, happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Grace. Hope you're feeling better.
But yeah, sometimes you just got to be blunt, you know?
Yeah.
Because people need to be told what to do. And that, like you said, like people can smell bullshit
so far away. I feel like that's something that I've kind of finely tuned over the last couple of years is like my meter for bullshit. You know, like I have a very low tolerance for it.
Yeah.
And I think you and I have talked about before, at least I think I made a post about it or something. And I talked about like how it's difficult to be confrontational sometimes and, or like I'm finding it. I'm working on being more confrontational. Cause I think my natural instinct is just to like, please everybody and just agree. And like, yes. Yeah, I can do it. Yeah. 100%. You know, like I just naturally feel myself wanting to do that. And I have to like fight everything in my being to like, say, no, that's not actually what I think. Mm-hmm. This is what you need to do.
Do you want to be nice or do you want to be good?
Yes.
Exactly. Mm. Yes. Yeah. And that's actually, you make a good point, you know, because I'll tell patients that. They're like, well, I don't want to do this and that. And I just said, hey, I need to protect my reputation. And I can promise you, you won't get better if you don't do this.
That's the biggest piece. As a guy who coached salespeople and who coaches people in social media and also fitness and nutrition in my past, the biggest thing is not telling people what happens when they do what you say. It's what happens if they don't.
Exactly.
Most of us fear preservation more than anything else. And so if it's like, hey, if you do the exercises I say to, if you come see me X amount of times per month, likely we're going to make this get better. And this can be tied to your goal of better longevity, better flexibility and mobility, better sports performance, whatever you're into. But if you don't, odds are you're going to tighten up more. Your situation is going to get worse. And then all that stuff you want to do is out the window. What do you want to do here?
Exactly. Yep. And some people call that a scare tactic, but it's not. It's the truth.
Yeah,
you know,
that's scary.
I mean, people used to always tell me when I started practice, you can't be saying that kind of stuff. And I said,
watch me.
The truth?
Yeah, the truth. Yeah.
And I get like, really, come on. I get extremely passionate and quite frankly pissed about that because I went through so much bullshit with my fucking health that if I had a provider saying, oh, well, actually, no, take that back. If I had a provider telling me, hey, I'm going to recommend this, but in the back of his head, he knew he could have given me more because he was worried about cost or something like that, I'd be so fucking pissed. Give me the best recommendations. And then I'll make a decision from there.
Right. Give me all my fucking options.
Yeah.
Good, better, best options.
I've seen fighters all over the country. I mean, I've gone to Colorado for seven stem cell procedures. I've been in all over the place, seeing different physical therapists, chiropractors, functional medicine doctors, tons of people.
I know. I definitely want to get into some of that.
Yeah. We'll go into that here soon. I've got some pretty crazy weird stuff.
Well, like, but tell us exactly what was the injury you were dealing with? Like, you know, do you know exactly? Like, I'm sure you do at this point.
So I sure hope so.
Yeah, I know. You know, so and you got that from like adjusting people, right?
Yes. So it's a mixture of two things. One, I was adjusting. You know, I went from adjusting no patients to adjusting almost 200 a week in a clinic in Kansas City. So I was in one of the largest volume or highest volume clinics in Kansas City. We were seeing like 800 visits a week. And so I was just fell out of my body. And I was also lifting like the heaviest I'd ever lifted. Like I was in the gym constantly. I even hired a coach. I was getting ready for a physique competition.
I remember that. Yeah.
And because in my mind, like I was saying earlier, I'm always trying to optimize my body, but it's easier if you have a goal. So I hired a coach. Let's do a physique competition. A month in. No, we were probably 2 months in. Anyways, I hear a pop in my neck. And I'm doing military press and I've got like 70 pound dumbbells on there, feeling good, and boom, pop. And like, it was like a weird pop, like a holy shit. I put down my, my dumbbells. I lay on my back. I'm like, okay, I think I'm okay. I'm an idiot. I push through it, grab 60 pound dumbbells. And
just go down 10 pounds.
Yeah.
I'm good.
And months go by and I keep getting this real bad tightness. I'm just like, the hell is going on? And then it starts bleeding into my face.
Oh.
And I just get in this numbness and I get this crazy pressure in the back of my head. And I saw so many people in Kansas City. I saw multiple physical therapists, multiple chiropractors, multiple massage therapists. I even saw energy workers. I mean, I saw
what is that?
Like Reiki?
Reiki, yeah. I saw Reiki. And like, did it help? Yeah, but for like an hour, because it brought down me into like a parasympathetic state. But then, you know, it would come right back. And so
your fight or flight response starts flaring back up.
Exactly. So keep in mind, I'm still in practice. I'm still adjusting patients. And then I decide, you know what? I miss St. Louis. I want to move back to St. Louis. I want to open up my own practice. And the biggest thing, honestly, was my nephews were all being born, you know, and I'm a big family person. We're all super close. So I moved back in town, but I was still injured. I was like, I can't practice right now. So here I am, St. Louis, with a doctorate of chiropractic, delivering FedEx packages out in, you know.
I remember that. Fuck, yeah, dude. Yeah. That's crazy.
Did you ever see that video?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
The one where he fell.
Yeah. Side story. Basically, someone got on their door cam a video of me getting really pissed off. Because again, I was in pain all the time. So I was crabby. So there was this really, really heavy box. And here's the ironic part. The box had a, what do you call it? A zero gravity inversion table. It had an inversion table. So here I am, a chiropractor delivering an inversion table. And I just said, fuck this thing. I just threw it on the driveway. And the twine got caught in my ankle. And I go flying forward, somersault over. I get pissed and roundhouse kick the side of my FedEx truck. It is the funniest video ever.
Yeah, if you can find that, like, send that to me.
Out the turntables.
Yeah. The owner of the house, he was driving by a few weeks later and he goes, hey man, did you fall to go? And I was like, dude, I fall every fucking day. I was like, this job is so hard on my body. And he goes, well, I'm pretty sure I got a video of you falling. I was like, yes,
send me that shit.
And I go, please send it to me. And he goes, I'm going to send it to you. But he goes, before I do, he goes, I'm going to tell you right now. Me and my friends got so much entertainment watching this video over and over and over.
That's just
got
to feel like shit. Like, dude, I'm over here delivering your fucking packages. Yeah. My neck is cranked. I just fucking rod-tanged my truck. Oh, it brought you joy? All right, fucking send it to me. Who cares?
So funny, dude. God. Oh, my God. I totally forgot about that video.
I need to somehow post that somewhere because, like, that's a viral-worthy video, man.
Oh, for sure.
And well, if you turn the volume up, you can just hear. Yeah. There we go. If you turn the volume up real well, you can hear me just go, fuck.
I like that.
Oh, that's great.
What was I saying?
Yeah, we were talking about, all right, you came back to St. FedEx. Louis. You were working at FedEx. You're a doctor delivering.
You were in
FedEx.
The valley, as they would say.
Exactly. Yes. So then, I had a couple stem cell procedures in the midst of all that out in Colorado. And so what my diagnosis was is I have something called what's called instability, vertebral instability. So we know that ligaments hold bone and bone together. When those ligaments become stretched, those bones start sliding around, all right? So if you look at an x-ray and I look down, my vertebra starts sliding forward.
Ooh.
So what happens there? Well, we irritate the disc, and then there's a hole where the nerve comes out of. Okay, it's called a foramen. That nerve gets choked off because that hole is closing off. Okay, so every time I'm bending over, every time I'm, you know, quite frankly, it's everything. Anything I was doing, anything, just it would aggravate it. So I get a little bit of relief. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to run with this. You know, fuck it. I'm going to just do it. I opened up a practice out in Webster Groves.
Yeah, I remember. It's right down the street from our CrossFit gym.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a boiler company.
Yeah, I'll be honest. It wasn't like the prettiest office by any means. No offense.
Great first office.
For sure.
But I mean, it looked like a basement.
Yeah.
And so imagine a boiler company took space and kind of renovated it, but I mean, it looked like it was still from like the 70s.
Yeah. Freddy Krueger's my chiropractor.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, it did well enough to where after a year, I was comfortable moving out to Sunset Hills.
Yeah, dude, your office now is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And it's like, me and Gina are driving by it like 2 days ago. She goes, oh my God, that's where Brett's office is? This is like perfect look. I mean, because it's like right on Lindbergh, which is like a really busy street here. Mm-hmm. And like, you couldn't ask for like better like storefront, in my opinion.
Sunset Hills is clutch.
I mean, Sunset Hills is a great, I mean, great community. I mean, there's just a great area. I mean, there's so much, so many great things going on.
Yeah, there's so much going on there. Hell, there's Fit Flavors there.
Yeah, there's a Fit Flavors there. Yeah.
Podcast 50.
Which actually, I go there quite a bit. And for a good reason too, which I'll get into later on with like when you're talking about seed oils and stuff. What I love about Fit Flavors is, yes, it's all healthy from a macro standpoint, but also, they use the healthy oils in there. Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, like everything in there is just way more healthy. There's some other companies in St. Louis I won't name that you know, are healthy from a macro standpoint, but the garbage in there.
The micros are not where they're hitting.
Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah. And another thing is I hate the frozen ones, man, because there's some places I've bought them and they're frozen. And I'm like, man, they just never taste good whenever you reheat
the
them.
The longer it has to stick around, the less you should be like looking to ingest it. That's 100%. Kind of a pinpoint of my thing, especially with the oils. Like, I'm a guy who deals with a lot of really bad inflammation-based migraines, and just my whole body is inflammation. I'm 90% inflammation. But the thing that we were taught mostly at First Form was, like, when you start going through, like, the middle aisles of the grocery store, the things that are pre-canned, packaged, and super processed, a lot of those have highly refined vegetable oils in them. Well, that's basically shit that you're using to lubricate your engine, your fucking car.
Yep.
And so it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe you should just eat differently. Well, yeah, that's part of it, but it's like, a lot of people aren't eating foods that are anti-inflammatory. And thankfully, with what Fit Flavors does, they have a lot of anti-inflammatory oils like avocado oil.
Yep. That's great.
Yeah. Stay to the perimeter of the grocery store. You know, stay in the stuff that needs to be refrigerated because it.
Perimeter means outside.
Yeah, it can't. Yeah. Perimeter. Yeah. Is that what I said?
No, but I don't know if everyone knows that.
The perimeter. Yeah. So you just, stick around to that stuff. You'll be a lot better off because it's the stuff that goes bad. So, but yeah, anyway, so you're delivering, you get your spot
in Sunset Hills.
And now, how many years have you guys been there now?
So I've been there now, what, a year and a half, like that. Yeah. It's funny. I forget how fortunate I am because it is such a nice place.
Oh, dude, it's sweet.
And so, like, you saying that, I'm like, shit, it is a nice place. Like, I forget about that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, compared to the last spot, had to, like, know it was there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it
like, was... there was no advertising. And, you know, mm-hmm. I know that's something that, you know, I wanted to kind of get into, too, and is, like, the business aspect of that. Because that's, you know, I would imagine when you go to chiropractor school, they probably teach you how to be a chiropractor, right? They show you how to adjust. They show you how to, do all the stuff to make patients better, but they probably don't show you a lot of like how to run a business and run your own practice. Am I right?
They teach you the why, not the how.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. That's chiropractors have it's well over 50% failing rate.
Really?
We have a horrible, horrible failing rate.
That makes sense.
There's multiple factors. It's multifactorial as to why, but yes, one of the big reasons is we learn absolutely almost nothing.
Yeah. Nothing on how to run a business. Cause that's half of the battle. I would imagine most of your headaches are probably, mm-hmm. business related more than like patient related, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
exactly. I bet, right?
100%.
Yeah.
So, and the thing is too, like the people teaching a little bit of business in school are ones who are no longer practicing anymore because
so it's like they probably weren't very good at it.
Because they weren't very good at it. Exactly.
They're great people,
and they might be good chiropractors and getting good results, but they were shitty business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one thing I always noticed from the beginning was, okay, I'm going to learn the chiropractic, but I got to figure out how to run a business because I don't want to be miserable just trying to make ends meet all the time, you know?
Yeah. What was your biggest mistake, you think, like as a business owner on the business side of things from the very beginning?
Good question. Let's see here. I would say two things. One, just spending my money, my first business loan, like an idiot.
Okay.
I would just spend it so quickly, you know? That's a pretty straightforward one. Another one was just, I was focusing too much on treatment time because in the back of my head, okay, if I am spending this much time with this person, then I don't have this much time for later in the day for other people. And so I start kind of my sympathetics are running. I'm like, oh shit, I got to hurry up. I'm not in the zone with the patient. And the results start going down.
So you were like scheduling too many people for you?
Exactly.
Just trying to get as many people in the door as possible.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can...
And you fall behind 5 minutes and your whole day is fucked.
Yep. Like, and then, you know, you have someone coming in with a flare up and, you know, you're trying to, you know, get them walking out well, but you rush through it. And then I'm up later at night thinking about it.
Like, fuck, I rushed through that guy. Yeah.
So one thing I've really, and especially the last few months I've honed in on is just focusing only with the person in front of me, focusing only on what they need. And then when we're done, I'll go to the next patient.
Mm.
Okay. Because patients typically never waited, but that's because I was rushing. Patients can wait, okay? As long as they're getting results, they don't care waiting.
Mm.
And so now, you know, I expect that to, you know, be very fruitful in the long run.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, also on the business side of things, I mean, you've got some employees now. How is kind of training been, having people that you're managing, like, how is mm-hmm. that something that comes naturally to you or like?
Yeah, training for me, you know, like I'll pat myself on the back. I'm very good at explaining things. So that is a natural gift that comes to me. However, one thing that I really had to work on was creating systems and procedures on how to quickly train them. you know, a lot, I've gone through quite a few staff over the last year. So I've learned a good system. So what I've done is, yes, I will work with them hands-on, but I've created a library of training videos, me talking and screen sharing, showing everything with what we call the electronic health record system. I'll even role play. I'll have my twin brother come in. He's my fake patient. And I'm just like, all right, Brad, you know, sit down, let's adjust you. And I'm explaining to him his report of findings, meaning what I found on him. That way the staff understands what's going on. And so they can then watch those videos in conjunction with me, you know, working with them one-on-one. Before I only had one employee. Now I have just two employees, but it's nice because they can piggyback off of each other. And then plus if one leaves or if, you know, one gets another job or if I let one go, you know, I have the other person and then obviously train fill in the other person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So loom.com, that website's great.
Is that the hiring website?
No, it's the where I make all my videos. Oh, so I record everything. Oh,
I've
on
heard
there.
Of that actually. Okay.
It's incredible because you can have, you know, the screen being recorded with your face on it and it's very interactive and it just makes for quick, easy, you know, videos.
Sweet.
So at least from my perspective, like I didn't play sports as a kid, uh-huh. which doing what I do now, a lot of people are actually surprised by that. And when I worked at First Form, it's a very physically demanding job, not just because like you're sitting at a computer all day, but again, the team workouts are super strenuous. And we came into contact with a lot of chiropractors and I always heard different answers, which I appreciated about it. But at least from your perspective, Brett, like lifestyle factors that lead to most people needing to see a chiropractic professional. What are some of the most common ones that you've come across and what are the most common remedies that you could offer?
Great question. So some of the most common reasonings you said that people come and see me is they come in typically with low back pain, upper back pain, sciatic. Neck pain, sciatica. Yes. Headaches is a common one. Now, why are they getting these though? I mean, it's no secret. We're all sitting at a desk all day long. Okay. Now, is that necessarily the 100% cause? No. But it's one more thing that breaks the camel's back in the end, just because we've got a bunch of other stressors going on elsewhere. But then once we're sitting for long periods of time, I mean, my goodness, it takes a toll on your body.
Yeah.
Now, what I tell all my patients on day one, does that mean we can't get you better? No, it means that my job is to get your spine stable enough to where you can tolerate this. You know, it's like I tell a lot of my patients who are super stressed. I can't take your stress away from you, but I can make you tolerate it more. I can make you manage it. And so sometimes people, if they have an extremely labor intensive job,
like movers, for example,
exactly movers, you know, I'll see them quite a bit at the beginning and we'll get them to as close as we can to optimal health, if not completely eliminate that pain. But I'll tell them point blank and I'll be transparent. Hey man, you're going to need maintenance care every once in a while, fine tuning. I mean, you already do it with your dentist for your teeth. Why not do that for your spine where your entire brainstem, you know, is coming down into. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I like to see people once a month, once every 3 weeks. Some people, you know, come in whenever they want. You know, I kind of meet them in the middle, whatever they want to do.
Yeah, I really like the analogy of thinking of your body like a car, man. Because like you can't just, you know, never change your oil, never put gas in it, never, you know, take it to the shop and see what it needs. You know, maintenance stuff even before it's broken.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we replace things usually with our car before they break, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and then I think it works the same with the body, whether you're exercising, eating properly, you know, stretching, you know, doing correct mobility, I mean there's a laundry list of stuff we can get into. I know you're really into biohacking and stuff like that, so that's stuff I would definitely want to get into at some point on the show here.
Absolutely.
But you know, thinking about it like it's a car, I think is a great analogy. You
my need favorite to go analogy
and tune it up, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a point where there's no return, you know? There's mm-hmm. a point where your transmission can go out, or there's a point where you can, you know, your body is never going to be 100% again. So while we're still young, and I'm sure most of this audience is young,
mm-hmm.
take care of your fucking health, you know? I mean, this is my favorite quote, and it sounds a little cheesy, but it's so fucking true.
Most things are.
Is, you see, when you have your health, you have like a million wishes, you have a million dreams, so much stuff you want to do. But when you don't have your health, you only have one fucking dream.
Get your health better.
Yeah. You know? And so, and I've been there. I mean, when my health was gone, man, and there was so much more stuff we'll get into later, just like my brain was fucked. And so what happened was I cared about nothing. I never socialized anymore. Okay. I was single and I didn't want to date anyone because I knew I couldn't because I was just miserable all the time. My family, I didn't really want to hang out anymore because I just wanted to just curl. I had nights where I was literally crying at night, falling asleep. Just because I was like, I'm never going to be pain. Like, holy shit, this is ridiculous. Like, there's no way, like, I can, you know, live like this anymore. I'll never forget one time laying on the floor at my new office on a Sunday afternoon trying to get work done, and I couldn't get the work done because I was in so much pain. And I call my mom up, 31-year-old male, and I'm like, Mom,
help.
I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, fuck, I can't do this anymore.
I get it.
And like, when you're in that much pain, you just lose all just like, I mean.
And no one gets it.
Yeah, no one will ever get it. Yeah.
I don't like to hammer on the migraines thing because they've gotten a lot better as I've learned more about nutrition, especially with what you would teach.
Yeah.
And I would go down at work and it's like, there's this knot from my shoulders into the fucking back of my head. And it's like, describe to me what it feels like. It feels like someone is inside of my face, pulling a rock across of it, like, and just pulling on all the nerves and everything. And I can't deal with light. I can't deal with sounds and smells and movement. How am I going to serve tables? How am I going to do my job on my phone? Well, just power through it. It's like, then I would go throw up and be like, is it really that bad? Yeah, it's fucking that bad. I would fall asleep crying and just be like, dude, how much longer can I do this? So I sympathize with you very sincerely.
You're like my favorite types of patients because I can relate to you guys so much, you know? I love hearing those stories. I feel bad, but I get a little biased sometimes because when those patients come in, I end up spending more time with them. Because I'm like, let's have a conversation and relate a little bit here.
Let's talk about our problems.
Exactly. Yeah, I know.
But that builds trust. Because sure.
It does.
If people don't feel like you understand what they're going through, it's a lot harder for them to relate to you. And especially not only just the fact that you are a chiropractor, it's like, I practice all the shit I tell you to practice. That makes you relatable and credible, which when I teach social media, that's the two biggest things that you can be.
Exactly. 100%.
Well, so what ultimately ended up, like, you know, improving, or like, are you better now, or is it like,
I'm
it
better.
Seems like it's improved.
I'm much better now. So there's two reasons why.
You went into, I know you've done a ton of shit. You did the stem cells. You've done seven different times you went and did stem cells like that. Didn't.
Yeah. So, and it's a very unique procedure where they actually, you're completely knocked out. And, so they're the only ones in the entire world that do this procedure. They go through the throat with needles and inject the stem cells into what we call the apical ligament, transverse ligament. There's a bunch of ligaments in your upper cervical complex.
So they go inside in your mouth, like.
Yes. Through the throat. Yeah. And then they go through, and then they go into, like, yeah, like I said, the upper cervical complex. Why is that area so important? And this is the area that I specialize in my office, is because what sits inside there, your brainstem, and your brainstem regulates everything in your entire body. So when that is off, you get things like migraines, like we were talking about, unexplained anxiety, depression, brain fog, sleepless nights, tossing and turning, whole body systemic, just crazy pain, ringing in the ears, what else? Visual disturbances. You get tons of things, even body temperature regulation, because the brainstem regulates
everything, your heartbeat, your breathing, all this stuff, all the stuff you don't think about doing, your brain. Stem
exactly
regulates all that, correct?
Yep.
So autonomic nervous system.
Exactly. Bingo.
I remember some shit.
Uh-huh.
I'm a psychology major.
Love it.
Finally came in handy.
Yeah. Finally. that's what I spent all that money for.
Say that money finally paying off.
So I can pull out some big words on a podcast that I film on a spare bedroom in my house.
I studied English. That's my job, motherfucker. Most useless degree in the room. And I didn't even finish. Thanks.
A lot of people don't use their degrees.
No.
Technically, my undergrad degree bachelor's in life science. What is that? That's a great question. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's basically just like gen ed sciences, yes?
Yeah, I think so. So anyway, answer your question though. So
what all have you done? You did the
stem cell procedures. I saw tons of chiropractors all over the country. I saw tons of different physical therapists everywhere. I did some of the Reiki. I did, let's see what else. Oh man, I've done so much that I forget. But the biggest thing, which is what I've been doing for almost exactly a year from now, I started seeing a functional medicine doctor. So shout out to Dr. TJ Williams over at the Institute of Natural Health. He's completely changed my life, and he's the reason why now I've just completely revamped so much with my diet. So I went and saw him around this time, actually, almost at this exact time last year, because I was at a breaking point. I was like, okay, it was probably right around the time I called you.
Yeah, and honestly, probably was right around that time.
Yeah. So it gotten to the point where my neck and my shoulder, my upper back were so painful, which then takes up an effect on your mind, that then I started just getting unexplained anxiety. I was depressed. My entire body was, my fucking hips, ankles, my knees, my hands. I'm just like, I'm 32 years old. And like, I'm a big family guy. I'm like, I'll never have a family because I would be the worst dad ever because I can't take care of anyone. And so I go and see him and he's like, all right.
Where's
so,
he?
So he is over across from Galleria Mall.
Oh, okay. So he's here local. Okay.
He is. Yes. He's a big time guy. When I talk to other people about functional medicine and they're like, oh, TJ Williams here in St. Louis. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, shit, I didn't realize that. And I mean, he's really good.
He's well known.
Yeah. So I have a 2-hour consultation with him and we just lay everything out on the table and we do a ton of testing. I did multiple different types of urine analysis. We did blood work. I did fecal. I had to poop in a little little container.
Like a fried basket
thing? Yeah, exactly. I had to poop in that in my bathroom and then put basically take pieces of poop and put it in a vial and ship it off in FedEx. Good old FedEx. I know.
Good old FedEx coming right back to you. Yep. Now you're delivering my shitty package.
So we get a bunch of work back and wow, was I shocked. So I had lead poisoning.
Oh.
I had mercury poisoning.
Oh.
I had Lyme's disease. My hormones were completely fucked. Testosterone was low. My gut, I forgot what marker they use for like an accurate gut inflammatory marker. He was like, I see a lot of patients and I see a lot of, you know, messed up guts. He goes, you're on the list of one of the highest I've ever seen. He's like, this is why you're just in chronic pain. He's like, your gut is so messed up.
Most nutrition, not all nutrition starts in the gut. 80% of our health is in the gut.
Yep, exactly. And so he's like, this is probably what's going on here now. And then I just found out a week ago that I have osteopenia as well, which is like early stages of osteoporosis, which makes sense because when lead, I believe it's lead.
How did you get lead poisoning?
Or any of this shit?
I love paint chips, man. Yeah. No, that's a good question. It can be the water.
Water, that's like the first thing I thought of.
Now,
makes me fucking nervous.
Mercury, fluorescent lighting, believe it or not, when you flip them on and off, it gives a little dose of mercury.
Yeah. How little?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. But I mean, enough to where even the World Health Organization recognizes it. Wow. Huh. So got all that going on. So what do we do from there? Some of the craziest therapies you guys will ever hear. I didn't even know some of this stuff existed. So first, we did just like normal Myers cocktails, you know, like vitamins and stuff, just to like make sure, you know, I got everything. So I did that for a few weeks. And then TJ had me doing what we call EBU. What does that mean? That is basically what we do is we pull blood out of my arm, we put it in a cylinder, and then we pump it with ozone gas. And then it comes out, goes through a UV, like sanitation light, and then goes back into my body. So basically, that's going to help with overall systemic inflammation. And my goodness, you notice a difference immediately after it. I mean,
really?
Just like my brain just felt more clear, way more energy. You sleep far, far better.
Emotional stability probably improved too.
Yes, exactly. That's a very good point. So I would, like, I remember there's a point where like I was like, I mean, there was so much stuff going on with the office and I was like, whatever, I can manage this. Like, cause my mind was right, you know? So I was doing EBU. I was doing, let's see here. This one's going to be interesting. So I was doing rectal ozone as well, 3 times a week.
Of course.
Yes.
You were boofing?
What'd you say?
You were boofing?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kidding. No shade at what you were going through, but I had to.
No,
I'm sorry.
Please. No, let's joke about
it. Of course.
Hey, I'm the one that's bringing up the rectal stuff.
I was going to say, you brought it up.
I'm the asshole.
It would be one of the Lux brothers to bring up some sort of rectal something on a podcast.
I'll tell you what, I got used to putting stuff up my butt 3 times a week. It was...
So what is this thing?
That's going to be real, bro.
So what they would do is they would pump... Please do. So what we would do, or what the doctor would do, is put ozone gas into like a bag.
Okay.
And then it's got a hose that comes out of it. And then...
That hose goes up your ass.
Hose goes up my ass. Yep.
Okay.
Wait, are you awake for this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So, well, no. So I'm doing it on my own. So like I just go in the bathroom and do it on my own. And so, and honestly, it's... I could notice a good difference right afterwards because ozone will help obviously with the gut if it's going rectally. Inside your gut is your autonomic nervous system. And so you guys ever heard of the rest and digest, you know?
Yes.
So your parasympathetic nerve system is highly involved with the gut. And so if you relax that area with the ozone, bring down the inflammation, it'll put you more in a rest area. So like I would sometimes walk into his office, you know, flared up, And then I put ozone up my booty, and I was feeling pretty good afterwards.
Well, I've heard about these ozone machines, because there's other ways you can take it, right? You know, you can take it, like, orally, right? I think there's a way that they, like, pump it into water.
And I mean, that was an option one, bro.
I don't know about that, because I think it would evaporate from the water, for lack of better
terms. There was something. I was listening to it on a podcast. They talked about, like, two or three. I would imagine, and again, I
don't know fuck about shit, but, like, if... I would imagine that if it's going in orally, it would have to go through your whole digestive tract. However, if you go the opposite way, it probably remains intact for as best as it can.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because what you do is you puff the bag, and then it goes into your rectum. It felt like you were, like,
cold up here.
It felt like you had to poop. Because your colon expands, and the only time your colon expands is when you got a big old log coming through. Okay. Yep. And so you'd hold it, and then you'd toot it out.
I was going to say, what if you had to fart?
You have to, because, and I learned that the hard way, because, so my first time I did it, they explained very accurately how to do it, but I just didn't listen. And I just squeezed the whole bag in there and put my pants on and walked out of there. And
grip it and rip it.
I had the worst cramps in my belly. I was like, what the hell is going on? And I go back and she's like, well, did you fart it out? I was like, no. Oh. And she's like, yeah, you can't do that. She's like, you have so much air in your gut that now you're getting cramped. So you have to, like, squeeze, toot out, squeeze. And you keep doing it until you get done with the bag.
God, Pat, you missed a really interesting episode today, brother.
Yeah. So we did that. And then I did a food sensitivity test. So there was so much stuff I had to cut out of my diet.
Okay. Let's get into that.
Okay. So keep in mind, you guys, everyone's different. Okay. However, for me, the main things I had to take out were gluten and dairy were the biggest ones.
Highly refined.
Now, kind of a sidetrack, I'll get right back into it. Keep in mind, dairy commonly will show up as sensitive on the food sensitivity test. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that you are sensitive to it? Not necessarily. What that could potentially be is that your gut is so inflamed, and so you've opened up those gates. And so no matter what you put in it, it's going to be inflamed. All right. But once you heal the gut, then you can tolerate dairy.
So you can kind of bring it back in.
Exactly. Slowly. Which is why carnivore is so great, because it heals the gut.
That's what you're doing right now, right?
It is. Yeah. So I'm not full blown carnivore quite yet.
Do you do fruit?
Right? Yeah, I do fruit pretty often.
As I did that exact diet all of January. Mm-hmm. I did nothing but meat, red meat and fruit.
You had to do it with Rogan during January.
I did. That's why I did it. Yeah. I'm a fucking loser.
No, dude, I listen to him just as much as you probably. Yeah. Yeah,
but you didn't steal our intro from the goat.
Yeah.
Great and powerful carnivore over here.
God, that's great.
Yeah. So, all right. So no dairy.
No dairy, no gluten. So because I also had, he was convinced I also had some sort of viral infection. I couldn't have any sort of garlic, which will not realize this until I tell you, garlic is in fucking everything.
I thought garlic had a purifying effect on the body.
It does. It actually it's an antiviral.
Oh.
And I have a virus infection. But because I was so systemically inflamed that every time I'd bring in garlic, it was probably just kickstarting a chemical inflammatory reaction. And so it was just too much for my body.
It's like hitting the undo button on the progress you just did.
Yeah. So almost every nut you could think of, almonds, all those.
The common allergens more than anything. If you looked at the back of anything that's processed or has a package on it, it's like, hey, it may contain these things. It sounds like you had to, or eggs. Cool.
Eggs were horrible. Yeah.
I figured
those
as much.
Those were super high on me.
Eggs, dairy, nuts.
Yeah. I'm thinking about, it's funny we're talking about this, because I'm thinking about introducing it back into my diet. Because my gut's a little bit more, or a lot more, repaired. So maybe I used to get really bad gas with eggs, and that's typically just because your gut just can't handle it. But you can also be just 100%, sensitive to it.
A gassy dude.
Well, and our guts have a very hard time breaking down protein as it is. I mean, whenever you think of fuel sources, you have fats, you have carbs, and then you have protein. And protein is typically the hardest to break down for our guts. And so if you don't take ample care of your gut health, in the most basic terms, eating a lot of tropical fruit, eating a lot of fermented foods, carnivorous fruits that are going to have those probiotics in it. I mean, you're going to be getting your protein in, but your body's actual ability to break it down and absorb it is hindered because, I mean, what, 3 out of every 4 people have improper gut health?
Exactly.
I know a thing or two.
Mostly, you do.
Take off the greens, by the way.
That's all true. And I never heard that stat before, 3 out of 4 people, but people don't realize some of the stuff that they deal with is because of their gut.
Yeah. They call it the second brain, right?
They do. Yeah, they call it, it's like the connection to the brain is what they call it. Like, yeah, that, something like that. Well, yeah.
And people wonder why they have such bad smelling farts, especially after high protein and high dairy foods. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're not properly breaking down and absorbing your food, start with the breakdown part. Exactly. It's that those little morsels of food stick around in your gut and they, for lack of a better word, turn rotten inside of you. And it's like, oh, wow, my farts and my poop smell super bad. It's like your gut health also is super bad.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I would clear rooms. Oh, man.
I'll
yeah.
go toe-to-toe toe with you yeah. on that. Try me, Doc.
Yeah, you guys don't want to smell this room.
yeah, but you change diapers. You know what it really smells like.
That's true. Yeah.
All right. So no dairy, no gluten, no nuts. No eggs.
No eggs. Let's see here. So garlic and then onion, garlic. Onions as well.
Wow.
Gosh, I got to look at all my other stuff, but there was quite a bit more. So we cut all that out and that was great. I was juicing every single morning, just celery.
I see you're doing that a lot.
Celery and lemon juice, right? Yeah, because I needed to detox my liver. So that's good. I would do also, shout out to Nurse Kate. She taught me how to do, we put these patches on my liver and I'd sleep with it. Good Lord, what are they called?
Do the enzymes?
Castor oil.
Okay.
Castor oil patches. So it's an oil you put on a patch and then you put it on top of your liver right here and your body do its thing and it detoxes like overnight.
Sucks it out of there?
Yeah. So I did that. I took out coffee for a little while. Not anymore. Back on the caffeine.
Back on the grind.
God, yeah.
Welcome back.
Such a junkie too.
Oh, oh bro. Man. Me too.
Who knows, man? Maybe I'll be back or maybe I'll just start doing NeuroGum now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
This is not an ad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fit flavors and Nero gum. You're welcome.
Yeah.
I'll put some OptiGreens on the table too, Andy.
Oh, yeah. OptiGreens is good. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually just bought some of the chocolate ones yesterday.
I haven't tried them yet.
I bought them. I forgot to take them last
Thanks, keep me hanging.
I love the taste of OptiGreens. It's funny. Like when you're in the store, they're like, hey, you know, make sure you mix it with this. Some people don't like the taste. I love, there's something unique about the taste of those.
Really?
If you've tried any of the greens products by any chance.
Uh-uh.
Okay. The big thing about the I don't want to throw this guy under the bus, never mind. But, I won't use him by name. A big thing about OptiGreens, about a lot of products that First Form actually creates, even up to their protein powders especially, is that they're low-temperature processed. So
yes.
A lot of people will try competing products, and I don't work formally for the company anymore, but I'll always be an advocate because the products fucking work. But a big thing is that they're low-temperature processed. So what a lot of supplement companies will do is they will expose their products to high heat because it's a faster process, which saves them money. But when you cook them at a cooler temperature, yeah, it's going to cost a little bit more, but what it does for the integrity of the product, especially for your greens, is they don't taste burnt. They don't taste like, oh wow, I'm drinking something that tastes like burnt greens. And I remember one time we worked at First Form, we had to throw away a whole shipment of greens because they all came back burnt. And I'm talking it was a box as tall as this fucking room, probably about as wide as this room too, that we just had to throw them all away because Andy was like, hey, this is not done right. Our people deserve better than that. So if you ever try a competing greens product, and it's not uniform for all of them, but like that's one of the things you got to look for in your supplements. If you want it to at least taste good, low temperature process is not only going to help with the flavor, but with the integrity of what you're putting in your body to do what it's supposed to do.
And do they put that on the label that it's low temperature?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When I look for a greens product, I look for a few specific things. Number one, healthy enzyme blend. You know, if you're not going to be eating pineapple, mango, papaya on a daily basis, 2 to 3 servings, you need to get a healthy dose of digestive enzymes in. So I need to make sure it has that. A good probiotic blend. Lactobacillus is super resilient in the gut to where, like, when they analyze your fecal matter, you can actually find it in there.
Okay.
As well, I'm really, really big into it being low temperature processed. That's like, I can't not have that in almost any powdered supplement I take. So specifically, those are the things that I look for.
Okay. Good to know. I always knew they talked about that with their protein First Form, but I didn't realize that they do that with the OptiGreens.
Most supplements you buy are not regulated. Well, just about any supplements you buy are not regulated by the FDA, which is shoddy in its own right. But that's what you are going to get. And it's such a big point about investing in your health. Because when I was in Springfield, how old are you? Like 31?
33.
So, but we're all about the same age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in Springfield, I was heavily partying. I wasn't addicted to drugs, but I like to abuse
them. So we.
I would go toe-to-toe with you guys. Out of spite for myself, but like I would party super hard 5 nights a week. I would eat nothing but like pizza or like not good Chipotle for like every day of my life. And you know, it's fun to keep up with the Joneses. It's fun to go out and get fucked up. But like when you realize like, hey, there is progress to be made in myself. There's an investment to be made in myself. Like the greatest health you can have is the greatest wealth you can have is your health.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're someone who's sitting there on the fence, like, well, I can go out 5 nights a week, or I can, you know, get a gym membership and get supplements, go with the latter. Fuck the former, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Moderate.
And especially if you're an entrepreneur, the way I always thought about it, because I spent so much money over the years on my health, the healthier you are, the more money you're going to make. So just nut up, pay the money now. In the long run, it'll pay for itself and make you more, because you can't make money when you are sick.
Oh, 100%. There's so many people out there that are, they're not willing to spend money on themselves, or like they look at all the stuff that they're spending on the weekend to go out to eat, to go this, but then for them to, you know, join a gym, or, you know, go to a supplement store and buy some protein powder, some vitamins, some things that are actually going to make your health better. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not seen as a priority. They'd much rather
just go out
on the weekend and
take it from me. Like, you say, oh, I'll get all that from, no, you won't. No, you fucking won't. Okay. You're not going to eat 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. If you do, good for you. Most people will not. You're probably not monitoring your gut health. And you're almost for sure not going to eat 1 gram of protein per pound of ideal body weight every single fucking day. Yeah. They're an investment. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean you just had to buy First Form. You have to go with a company that aligns with your values and gets the job done.
Yep.
There's my soapbox. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
But you make a good point about how the FDA doesn't regulate it. Like First Form, I think they also have a third party making sure that everything mm-hmm. is up to par. And same thing with like the company I use, which is Dr. TJ's supplement company. It's called Optimal Nutraceuticals, I believe. And so anyways, he's got great stuff. Cause that was another thing that we did, was a ton of supplements. Okay. So I was taking charcoal every night. I was doing, So it did like capsules, but that was going to help with the, a little bit with the
chewing on briquettes,
heavy metals. Yeah. Just go to Schnucks and get some charcoal.
Team Deerbergs, by the way.
Yeah. That's why my brain fucks.
Yeah.
but yeah. And then, you know, fish oil, of course, multivitamin, of course. And then the other things were like vitamin D and, I was on probably 12 different supplements, but I just can't remember all of them now because I was on so many.
People sleep on fish oil.
Resveratrol. What'd mm-hmm. you say?
People sleep on fish
yes.
oil.
Yes. And that was one of the things that my blood work came back for, was extremely low EPA and DHA.
Thank you for saying that. Mm-hmm. There's a very prominent carnivore account that posts like mostly good stuff. He's like, fish oil pills are toxic for you. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot for that.
They're also probably saying cold plunges are bad for you too. So.
Oh, you're talking about the exact same fucking guy.
Is it actually? Yeah.
Most of what he posts, I actually am like, thank you. But like, there's a few I'm like, dude, you sell $80 collagen. Get the fuck out of here.
Collagen is the most important supplement you can have.
No, you could hit a regular protein powder first. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, to his defense, we're talking about him now.
Right.
We didn't know. No free publicity.
Yeah. We don't know. I don't even know who you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Good. Keep it that way. But I respect a lot of what this guy does. He posts a lot of really good stuff, but it's like some of the stuff that what we've talked about on the show is like, not even just being confrontational, but sometimes being controversial. It's like, out of all the supplements that I've used in my life, do you know what did the best job helping me with my migraines?
What's that?
Fish oil.
Really?
Anti-inflammatory. And it's not just you go out and you buy some shitty dollar fish oil from the dollar store. Like, no.
Not the green bottle with the yellow lid?
My dad bought those supplements.
I don't even
supplements.
Know what brand that is, but that's the one I think of when I...
Nature Med.
Yeah.
Nature Med. Yeah. My dad buys those. He's like, oh, they've worked for me this whole time. I'm like, getting something that works a lot better, my man. And he's buying hard-pressed multivitamins. Yep. And it's like, dad, look at the difference between these fish oils. His is super cloudy. Mine is clear like syrup. I'm like, which one do you think is better? Well, that one's mine, so I'm going to say that one. I'm like, you're fucking wrong. And having enough EPA and DHA in your fish oil is super important to get the actual anti-inflammatory purposes out of it. You want at least 1,000 milligrams combined between EPA and DHA. Full Mega by First Form, that's 1,500. Thank you very much.
Ooh, there you go.
Take a double dose every morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I got to re-up on mine for sure.
Yeah, those are good. So, all right, so you're on all the supplements, you cleaned up your diet. What does your diet basically look like
so
now?
So right now my diet is, I pretty much fast. It was like unintentional and I just turned into fasting. You know, I try to eat, you know, last meal by like 7 or 8:30 or so. Mm-hmm. And then I don't eat until probably 12:30 or sometimes 2 o'clock.
About the 8 hour window.
Yeah. And so for lunch, you know, it's either going to be ground beef or chicken thigh. Chicken thigh, like today, I'm going to have, you know, chicken thigh and then a big thing of blueberries, wild berries.
Fattier cuts of meat.
Yes, exactly. And that's what, you know, Dr. TJ was saying. He's like, one thing I'm going to tell you right now, eat nothing but meat, the fattier, the better. You know, that saturated fat is very, very good for you, very nutrient dense. You know, that And I even buy beef tallow by itself. So I made my own hand and face and like skin lotion with beef tallow.
Really?
Nice. And it's great. It smells great. Like, I add some stuff in there.
Yeah, I had a thing of beef tallow that I was using for a while, and then I used that whole, I bought like a tub of it.
Yep.
And I fucking used it all. I need to get some more. But great. I was using it to cook with, and yeah, oh. I really liked it. It's just, yeah. I just ran out of it.
I'm the king of bacon grease when it comes to cooking.
I save all the bacon grease. Dude. Yeah. I want to get back to doing the carnivore diet because I mm-hmm. felt so good on it.
You do.
It's just, you feel incredible, but it's just like, fuck.
Yeah, because I was on it pretty well, my carnivore diet. So well, let me get back to, I guess, what I typically eat. No, you're fine. So I have that for lunch. And then throughout the day, I'll have like some snacks, like a beef stick. Some macadamians. That's one of the few nuts that wasn't on my sensitivity list. Mm-hmm. And then for dinner, my go-to, you guys can all thank me later for this. This is my favorite go-to. Ground beef, maple syrup,
what?
Avocados, and salt.
Smish.
It is the greatest sweet to salt ratio. Tons of protein. You can eat an entire pound.
Just like a bowl of ground beef?
Yes. And I'll eat sometimes over a pound. That might not be okay, but... I mean, I'll eat a ton of ground.
You got to think of all you're eating in a day. I'm thinking, you had some chicken thigh or a couple chicken thighs and blueberries.
I don't eat that much anymore.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's like compared to what I eat in a day, that seems like nothing.
Yeah,
there's a lot of
like, no offense. I'm not like trying to like you don't eat
enough.
Dude,
don't ever say that again.
I'm like, man, like I'm thinking about all the stuff you've eaten today, and I'm like, well, it's not that much if you really like add it all up.
For me, and maybe this is something I need to talk to you about to my doctor, Dr. TJ again. For me, whenever I eat, I don't feel as crisp. So like, for instance, before this podcast, I haven't eaten anything today. I knew if I ate before, I wouldn't be as crisp. I don't get burnt down anymore because I don't eat a heavy carb diet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I'm fasting or I haven't eaten yet, you know, but until if 2 o'clock hits around and I haven't eaten, then.
It takes a lot of energy for your body to go through its digestive system. There's a guy who's huge in the software industry and in crypto. His name's Alex Becker, and the dude's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. And he's like, I eat once a day, and it's right before the day is over.
Yep.
I don't give a fuck. And he's like, I feel great. He does three different martial arts. He works out. He runs like three separate companies. He makes YouTube videos like twice a week, and it's just like, what are you doing? Oh, okay. High fat, high protein diet, and eating once a day, and eating one big meal. And he's like, doesn't matter. I feel great.
Yep. I mean, how often were hunter-gatherers really eating? You know,
they
make their kill and eat it, and then, you know, they wouldn't eat until they make the next kill.
Right.
So, but yeah, that's what my diet looks like. And then, you know, I mean, I got a sweet tooth. Dad, I blame you because growing up, he had a sweet tooth and now I've grown to have one. And so my go-to now, actually I have three go-tos now. Main one is just frozen mangoes. It is so good. It's got the greatest texture ever. I won't lie though. They're all bad unless you get them from Costco. I don't know what it is. They must sneak some added sugar in there and not put it on there. It is so much better at Costco. And then
what else? There is sugar on them?
No, there's not. Oh. No, it's all just straight, only organic mango. That's it. But for some odd reason, they're just way sweeter than anyone else's.
Frozen ones?
Yeah, the frozen ones.
Okay.
So, and then I've been making my own chocolate ice cream, dairy-free. It is 5 ingredients. Avocado.
Avocado?
Yeah.
Wow.
So avocado, coconut, water, dates.
Yes.
And what's the last? Oh, then cacao powder.
I was gonna say, can
you
throw,
just like blend
it? You just blend it up, put it in a bowl, freeze it up, and then, oh, it's so good.
Can you throw a xanthan gum in that, or would that fuck with you?
You know what? Xanthan gum was one thing that they're like, we're okay with that. Just be in moderation.
I make protein ice cream pretty frequently these days, and to get the actual context, the texture of like ice cream, xanthan gum is one of those game changers. Just fucking whole milk, and I as a guy who. I mean, I've been vegan at different points in my life, which I don't really recommend. It was cool for what it was, but like I like meat too much.
Yeah.
For me specifically, like I just, when it came to that, making something like this ice cream to get the most out of it, like even whole milk, it's like it will fuck with my stomach, but I want that texture of like ice cream, and I don't want to go buy the Oberweiss. I for sure I'm shit not buying Ben and Jerry's, but whenever it comes right down to it, they're like, oh, add the xanthan gum, and I was scared of it, but it's like, oh, that didn't do anything to me.
You're better now?
Yes. So, and a few other things that we did as well. We tried raising my testosterone naturally, and it didn't budge even a single unit.
Are you on TRT?
So I'm on TRT. I do the pellets, bioidentical, and gosh, I know such a difference.
Really? Pellets, is that something, is it oral?
No, so pellets, it's bioidentical. So it's actually derived from yams.
Yeah, that's what they are, yeah.
So they just insert it into the butt cheek. Man, all this butt stuff I'm talking about today. But they just insert it into the cheek. It's a little pellet, and then it's just it slowly releases and dissolves over 3 months.
Wait, and they jam like it's like a
yeah. Imagine like a little pill, like a little pellet, and it goes into your suppository. Well, not in the rectum.
Ah,
yeah.
So it's like a chip in your butt cheek.
Yeah, it's like a little chip. Yeah. So they grab like a little like incision thing, and then they just stick it into like the fat in like your butt area.
And it slowly releases over
exactly
the course of 3 months.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I've never heard of that.
I do injections.
Yeah, he doesn't.
You do injections. Yeah. I would look into the bioidentical. It's a little bit safer too, just because it's. I mean, it's identical biologically. Now what they did do though is they also put me on Clomid. What that does is that'll, I don't quote me here. I believe what Clomid does is it will, yes, it'll make sure that you're still stimulating follicle stimulating hormone. Follicle stimulating hormone will then stimulate the follicles within the testicles because as people have heard, you know, if you're on testosterone, it can potentially reduce, testicular, size, and then it can affect, you know, chances of getting, or having children later on. Right. So I take Clomid. So those two things have helped with energy, helped with just like my ability to manage, you know, different stressors.
So did that shoot up your levels big time?
It did, yeah. I mean, I went from, you know, I mean, 600 is not that bad.
But I
went,
say that's like
middle.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I went from 600. Now we've kind of got it dialed into just a hair over 1,000.
Yeah, I'm at about 1,000.
Yeah.
And I need to get my check.
It's definitely a game changer.
Yeah. And a lot of people have those worries like, hey, is my hair going to fall out? Or is this going to impair my ability to have kids? Or am I going to have roid rage? And it's like, no, those are all stereotypes. And don't get me wrong. You do notice certain aspects of your emotional self change. Like your aggression does go up a little bit. And that can be in terms of like your sexual self or even your fitness. But otherwise, it's like, no, my recovery is just better. My sleep quality is better. Mm-hmm. My ability to build and maintain muscle mass and burn fat is better. Like, I think it's pretty fair trade. And I mean, male pattern ball just runs in my family anyway, so I don't fucking care.
Man, why do you think I wear a hat all the time?
Oh, I know.
Fortunately, I got good genes from my parents and my grandparents. Everyone had a good hair.
Yeah, your hair is on point, bro. Whoever lines up your beard.
Hey, I got to give Professor Cutts a shout out.
Yeah.
It's one of my guilty pleasures.
I love it.
I used to go every 2 weeks, which I know is great. Now I go probably every 3 to 4 weeks. But yeah, Joe Hines is great.
He's the best, man. I love that dude.
You go to him?
I have in the past. Okay. He's a great. I played football with him, and
that's right.
We were buddies in high school, and then through college, he would always give me free emos when we were down in
there. You go,
in Springfield, and Joe's just a good dude. Yeah.
Team Cecil Whitaker is by the way,
super nice guy.
Yeah, he's a hell of a boxer.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
If you can barber and you can box, you're a bad motherfucker.
Yeah, he does both of those things pretty well. Both.
The word of the day is. Technically butt stuff, but both.
Love that butt stuff.
So you're back to like, I mean, seems like your life has improved dramatically.
It has, yeah. Because I'm doing physical therapy right now. I've seen so many physical therapists and no one ever did shit for me except for finally I found one, Ed Pilgrim. So he's doing great with me. So that's helping quite a bit. Now, I will say one of the biggest...
Is that the guy out of Optimal Movement?
It is, yes. Okay.
Yeah, that's Taylor's... Or the runs with Taylor.
Correct. Yeah, he works with Taylor.
Okay. Yeah, and Taylor helped me with my knee when I had
that's
surgery.
Right. Yeah. Okay. And so he's been helping me quite a bit. Now the biggest thing too is I've completely had to pivot my office. I try not to manually adjust anymore. So how do I do that? Well, I've got into a new technique. It's called orthospinology technique. Mm-hmm. So we call it upper cervical technique as well, and we focus on one bone. It's called the atlas C1. So when we focus on this, it's super important because, as I was explaining earlier in the podcast, is that inside this bone right here is your brainstem. So if we can optimize the function of that neural circuitry within the upper cervical complex, we can affect essentially the whole body. Now, is there a limitation? Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's some people I'm like, hey, no, like we can't just work on that. But when we focus on that, it optimizes the health quite a bit, but it doesn't take a toll on my body. And the reason why is because I rely off of x-rays. So you'll come in as a patient, I'll take some x-rays, and then I have to mark them up like crazy. I mean, there's so much analytics that go into all these different measurements. And then those measurements will tell me how to adjust you. So I take very specific angles and depths and different vectors on basically how to set up just the instrument to adjust. It's a stylus. It's a real light tap. But then also too, all those numbers will tell me how to set up the head. So when you're laying on your side like this, is the head
real high? Is it real low? Is it tilted this way? Is the shoulder back? Is it forward? Are the knees bent? There's so many different factors that go into it because we're setting the body up just right toward this light little tap. And then it'll optimize that neural circuitry right there. Mm. So people come in with like a short leg, like, and then I adjust a little light tap here and the legs balance out. Or they'll be real restricted here, rotating their head, and they're like, God, it's just all this tension going into my like lower shoulder, or I got real bad headaches. Real light tap on the atlas, and they sit up and they're like, what the hell did you do? I don't understand this. Like they get frustrated. They're like, it works, but how does this work? Because it's so fascinating how it works. I mean, I'm still astounded how it works because it's such a light tap, yet it gives such a big relief.
Yeah, that's crazy. So are you guys like, you're not a lot of chiropractors do this, right?
So I use an instrument and it'll have a stylus that gives a very light tap. It actually looks like a drill. And so then what we do is you can tell me you feel great all you want. I don't care. I'm going to take x-rays immediately after your very first adjustment. And then I want to see those numbers change. And as long as I see those numbers change, cool. We're going to repeat that setup. We're going to repeat the angles. We're going to repeat everything. So it's reproducible. There's people who I have coming in where I see no change. And every single visit for the first four visits, I'm post x-raying. And people will say, that's a lot of x-rays. Well, if you go to the ER and get a CT, that's 200 of my x-rays. So trust me, it's not that much radiation. And once I get that mark and I hit my target, then I know, cool, that's how I'm going to set the patient up. That's the angle I'm going to take. Let's continue this until we get what we want.
That's cool.
And so now I still have to manually adjust some patients. And I mean, it takes a toll on my body still. You know, I won't lie to you. We're talking about all this health stuff and I'm like a million times better, but I still have bad times.
It's progress. It's not perfection.
Exactly. I mean, last night was actually one of my worst nights I've had in a long time. And so sometimes, it'll just put me on the couch and I can't do anything. And
just from adjusting people?
Like, yeah, just from adjusting.
Do something too hard? Yeah. Or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to remember, it's almost like a little mini whiplash when you come forward. No?
Right.
Most people can tolerate that though, but I have a very poor curve within my neck. And then also I have that instability that we talked about.
Do you think this is all stemmed from that time with the military press, or do you think that was just,
or like, is that like a compound effect?
Yeah. Was that like the straw that broke the camel's back? Kind of thing?
Because you wrestled, you said. Yes.
Yeah. So yeah. I wrestled. It was kind of multifactorial. Yes. It was adjusting a lot of patients. Yes. It was lifting, but also I have one of the worst looking necks. It is horrible looking. It should just be a banana shape. Mine looks like an S.
Really?
It's horrible. And so there's only so much I can correct. I've just accepted I've got a horrible looking neck.
It's horrible.
Yeah. No, but it's like, you can't really help that too much. You can do what you can do, but
yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, why you're in the profession. It's like, hey, this needs tending to.
You got
to
pivot, you know? It's been tough. I mean, I have to learn an entirely new technique that most people take 3-5 years to even get somewhat good at. And I'm still like such a rookie at it. I'm still a newbie. I started officially a year ago, and then now I'm traveling all over the country to different offices and hanging out with different chiropractors, going to different workshops just to make sure I can hone in on this. I mean, I was out in New Jersey, 3 weeks ago, just me and one chiropractor, and we just spent the entire day just going over everything. I mean, just the tiniest little movements setting the patient up can make such a difference.
So you mentioned to me that you're one of four chiropractors that are doing this orthospinology?
Yeah. Correct. Okay. Yes.
Orthospinology technique.
In the Midwest, at least. Okay. Yeah. There's only four in the Midwest. I don't know how many there are in the whole country, but there's a decent amount, but we're still definitely kind of like the smaller group. Quite frankly, because it's so freaking difficult. I mean, it's so analytical. I mean, there's so many times where I get real excited. I'm like, yeah, we got it. And I look at the post x-rays. No, we didn't get what we wanted. And the patient will say they're feeling better. I'm like, that's great. But we want to make sure we get exactly what we want according to these x-rays and adjust them again, post x-ray them again.
Good, better, best.
Well, yeah, because I remember seeing you. I mean, at least I don't, any other chiropractor I know doesn't have an x-ray machine in their office. And you have an x-ray machine, you've got some other machine in there, right?
Yeah, we've got x-ray. We've got, it's called non-surgical decompression therapy.
Right.
So it's great for disc injuries.
Right. So it kind of like pulls the discs apart.
Basically. Exactly. It'll pull the disc apart and then we can keep it just pulled, sustained like that, which is great for if you come in with a hot low back, which means like you just can hardly walk. But ideally to really fix it, what it'll do is it'll pull the spine apart, let it go and pull it apart. It creates like a pumping mechanism, which is going to create a vacuum-like effect, suck nutrients into the disc, and heal some of those annular fibers that can have been potentially torn. So disc bulges, disc herniations, great for that. Even, you know, facet syndrome, which is a joints, if those are super irritated, just taking some pressure off there. A lot of people say it's not used for facet syndrome. I think that's ridiculous. I had facet syndrome and worked great
for
me.
What is facet syndrome?
So it's, you have technically six joints to each vertebra. And so the facets are the most posterior, or rather the most, the joints furthest to the back this way.
Okay.
And so those joints slide and translate quite a bit as you move. But they can be, you know, prone to just an inflammation. They can just be prone to, poor like neural circuitry, which means the muscles just don't properly work. And so when that happens, all the inflammation goes in there, but if we can decompress it, it'll give you some good relief. Is that necessarily always going to be the fix? No, but it'll give you some great, you know, relief.
Sounds like it would feel good.
Oh, it definitely does. My patients, yeah, love that thing. Sure.
I'm a guilty pleasure just getting like cracked like a glow stick. I'm sure. I don't care if I have to come back in 2 days, do it again.
Oh, absolutely. I love getting adjusted.
And people are like, I'm so scared they're going to do something. Wow. Yeah. Have at it. My neck especially. I don't care. Yeah. Dog.
This is what I tell my patients when they're scared. I'm like, hey, tell you what. There's a reason my malpractice insurance is dirt cheap, because nothing ever happens. Like,
yeah.
I mean, malpractice insurance for any other healthcare profession is just like exponentially higher than ours, just because nothing bad ever happens. You know, you have to like try to really hurt someone in chiropractic.
Really?
Yeah. Now you hear the story. It's like clockwork. Every 5 years, someone has stroke.
A horrible. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Actually, your mother-in-law was telling me about it. I guess it was on the news recently. Right. And I was like, oh, I jokingly looked.
Something to worry about. She finds a reason to worry.
Yeah.
About.
Well, I guess her friends reached out to her.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I was like, I didn't realize it'd been 5 years. It's like every 5 years the news posts something. And is it caused by it? Yeah, I'll be completely transparent with you. Yes, it is. But the chances of that happening, you're far more likely to get hit by a car like multiple times a year than that to happen. And it also has a factor of how the chiropractor is adjusting you. Like for me, it'll never happen because I don't really twist the neck anymore.
Oh, you don't?
I do the orthospinology technique with the instrument. So it's impossible for that to happen with me. But you can still twist the neck properly. It feels amazing and still not get, you know, the risk of stroke if you do it the right way.
And we were doing front headlock position at Watson's the other night. My whole neck and back are fucking feeling it, dude.
Yeah. Well, why don't you lay on this table?
Let's get him
if
going.
If you want to do this on camera right now, I will get up on the, I will be the guinea pig to this motherfucker right now.
I wish.
Yeah, all good. Yeah, no, that's probably not
practice. I remember when we can cut this out of the show, but I remember when Brett was in it, like fresh out of chiropractor school, we're like all at a bar, he's like cracking everybody's. Oh,
no, that's a running joke. And Zach just said, we can cut this out. No, we'll keep this in. You guys are gonna love us. So it's like all chiropractors. Once you like start like, you know, getting that pop, you're like, oh, I'm the best chiropractor ever.
Man,
I'm going to show off to my friends. Yeah. And so we go to the bar and, you know, I'm adjusting people in the bar stool.
Yeah, we're all like lined up and Brett's just.
Love it.
Oh, yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Only a few ER visits, that's it.
Yeah, that was
no.
It was great. It was hilarious. I remember you waking up the next day or something. Man, I probably should have done that.
Yeah.
You
know? Oh, yeah.
I'm like, do it again, doc. I don't give a fuck.
Someone was like, you adjusted everyone last time. I was like, I did. I don't remember.
Yeah. No, fuck, I did.
What was my tab? No, when I worked at First Form, we had a girl who worked in-house for our, it was just like a back-end office kind of thing. And like she was a DC. And so it would just be like, yo. I'm feeling a little tight. She goes, I have work to do. I'm like, a little tight. Help me out here. And we'd like trade favors. Like I would like take pictures or videos for her or something. And like, it was so great. I feel kind of bad in retrospect. Cause I'm like, yeah, this is such an applied profession. Like you have to invest so much to become a professional at this, like so much school, so much hard science. And to have the people who every 5 years they jump on your name. I'm just like, dude, I've never met a chiropractor I didn't like. Like they've all made my life better in some way, shape, or form. I've never been to a physical therapist because maybe I should. I don't know. But I'm very grateful that the profession exists because I'm not like a pretzel. I've not always taken good care of myself. And I think that would probably be my last big question for myself is like for general mobility and flexibility and what you would say, you know, people could do preventively. Are there any specific movements or exercises or stretches or routines that you would recommend specifically?
Yeah, I mean, routines, everyone's going to be a little different. Yeah. But what I tell my patients, just get moving. I mean, and it sounds so simple. I know it does, but
simple
I
works.
Mean, just go for a walk, you know? I always tell my patients too, I'm like, hey, go for a walk after their adjustment. Okay, the gears are realigned. Let's get everything moving and make sure those discs, you know, are pumping and we're getting what we call imbibition, where the fluid starts coming right back into those discs. just start walking, you know. But specific protocols, everyone's a little different, you know. I wish I had something quick and easy, though.
Oh, quick question in my own case, anyways.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can you touch your toes if you just like bend over?
Of course. Yeah.
But like without bending your knee?
Yeah.
Okay. I for one, can't. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that here. All right.
I don't even know if I can.
Okay. Okay. So, like, is that just like, is that hereditary? Because, like, no matter how much I've stretched, no matter how much mobility I've done, I feel like I'm getting better at it, but I have to bend my knees at least a little bit.
That could be, see, the same thing. It could be the low back. It could be tight hamstrings. It could be limited mobility in the hip joint. Excuse me.
Okay. So it was JB, actually, Jarrett Bond. We were at HQ one day. He goes, Murph, touch your toes for me. What the fuck are you doing? Because it's always tied to a workout or something. I'm like, I can't. And he just did it. And this guy does jujitsu. He wrestled for 14 years.
Yeah.
He fucking competed in the CrossFit games and just did it. He goes, fuck you. And he walks away. I'm like, okay.
You did. He can't touch his toes?
No, he could.
And he's like a gymnast.
Yes, like, Jared Bond. He's a Greek god of fitness.
But he's also like, I mean, I can just tell you, I mean, I know a lot of people know that he did, his diet is not, just does
oh
not
my
reflect
god.
His physique.
Jared Bond.
He's like one of those guys that just like
Rice
always has
trees.
A six pack no matter what, you know.
Lays
no what
potato
eats.
Chips.
Like Jesus.
The guy's a metabolic fucking freak. And like
lives off Oreos and like, you know.
The dude eats complete fucking trash more days of the week than not. And again, walks around with the perfect CrossFit physique.
Yeah, like looks like a CrossFit Games athlete at all times, you know, like just gosh. You know, shredded. But you know. Some people are just dealt that deck of cards.
Yes,
you know, I don't think none of us were, unfortunately.
No. Passed his guard one time, though. Super proud of that.
Yeah.
Highlight of my jiu-jitsu career. I passed Jarrett Bond's guard one time.
Oh, yeah?
And I did it
yeah.
through jumping.
Yeah.
It was not a good idea.
Yeah, it's, yeah, man. So what's your training like now that you're working out again? You're feeling
so
good?
Yeah, so I'm, you know, doing, realistically, a lot of it is all prescribed for my physical therapist. He writes me up workouts, but it's pretty, you know, basic stuff. I do more like circuit work, lightweight, you know, high rep. But all my stuff is really geared around shoulder stability stuff. And I turn that into a workout. So I don't do necessarily your typical bench and your typical squat, and I'm not loading much.
Yeah, I'm not. That whole typical like bro workout, you know, like worrying about your bench press, worrying about like your numbers. Like I'm very. It doesn't matter.
As a combat
to me as
athlete,
much.
A big chest doesn't do shit for you.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just more, I just want to feel good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to look good too. You know?
Sure.
I mean, shit. Like I said, I'm taking testosterone. Let's capitalize on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, for sure.
Myself
let's get
look
Jack,
good,
baby.
You know? Yeah. And so for me, it's just more about functional movement. I mean, I want to make sure that, you know, when I'm 50, 60, you know, 70 years old, hopefully I'm still, I mean, yeah, sure, I want to retire, but I want to love my job so much that I'm, you know, working, you know, for long years, and I'm enjoying myself and I'm not hurting, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like one thing I always tell my friends is, you know, trying to raise a family while you're out of shape and you're hurting, that's a recipe for disaster.
My parents both had chronically bad health throughout their whole lives. And my mom, thankfully, has like started to get it under control.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's burned a whole lot of fat. She's losing a lot of weight. She's moving consistently. But like my birth father, he abused drugs for his whole life. He never understood nutrition. His favorite thing to do for fitness was watch WWE wrestling. And it's just like, you know, you didn't really set a good example for me, Dad.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I got it under control what I did. It's like my mid-20s and finally started getting my shit together. And I mean, it led me to here. Doing that one thing, investing in your health, it's, and bro, it opens up all these kind of different doors for you, especially if you didn't grow up playing sports like I did.
Yes.
Now I choose to get thrown on the floor and broken, fucking beaten and armbarred. Fuck you, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, man. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. It's like the people that are, you're a business owner, if you're a father, like you have to show up as an example for that, the, you know, for your kids, for the people supporting your business. Like, it's just, I hate to say it, but like, man, if I see someone who's not in great shape and they're like trying to tell me to do something or trying to,
criticizing what I do
or trying to tell me what they do is better than what I'm, you know, I just have a hard time believing it because it's like, man, you're missing something so crucial. Like you're not showing up as your best self every single day.
Sure.
And it's hard for me to take any advice from, you know, like I you know, going to like the classic example I see is like a, you know, out of shape personal trainer. Yeah, like that's like
exactly what I was thinking.
The first thing I'm like, bro,
I can think of one right now.
I'm not listening to you. Oh yeah, there's I could think of a handful that plenty that I've seen or that I've seen regularly at like your standard like public gyms that you you see and they're they got the muffin top and they're over there telling you to to run on the treadmill and stuff. Like hard to
and there's there's a lot of chiropractors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a dentist having rotten teeth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like you got to look the part for people to like.
You do
want to believe in what you're saying.
Not to mention, there's a plight that's going on socially and as far down and politically as we can see that, like, the integrity of the health of especially our children, but what that transmutes into later on in life is like there is a bias these days to saying like, oh no, you're perfect the way you are. No, it's okay. No, having six servings of highly refined carbs is way more important than you having a steak, and it's just like. No, dude, like this isn't how we're supposed to be going. And I mean, I think if more people heard your account today, it would probably encourage them to be like, man, I need to take care of my fucking shit.
Well, yeah, you don't want to clean up my diet.
You don't want to turn into me. Yeah. I mean,
that sounds like that pretty much was your biggest thing, from what I took away from all the stuff that you've told us today, like what's healed you more than anything is, I would say, it seems like, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, is changing your diet.
100%. Yeah. My diet, and then of course, my technique at my office, just being less hard on my body.
Sure.
But no diet, especially for like mindset aspect.
For sure.
Like we were just saying, like one of the main reasons I wanted to, or one of the goals I wanted out of this podcast today was to make sure that anyone listening, if you feel like you can't even wake up in the morning, if you're going to bed thinking, holy shit, I'm young, I'm never going to live a long life because I can't live like this anymore. You're crying yourself to bed. I know I'm sounding dramatic, but I'm being fucking serious. That's like literally what I did. Trust me. Just keep trying. Okay. Just don't give up. The biggest thing is stop drinking. First off, I'll tell you that, but cause it'll mess with your head, but, you gotta keep trying. Okay. I mean, you don't have any other choice. What are you going to do? I mean, you have no other choice. You just gotta keep trying.
Yeah. I mean, alcohol, sure, all three of us can say, we've had some great times drinking.
I have the words anything is possible tattooed on my leg, bro.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
I have the words anything is possible tattooed on my leg.
Do you really? Let me see. Oh my goodness.
Anything is possible.
But there's a great story behind that. Not only do I love Hennessy, but like my pops had just gotten kidney cancer removed from his kidneys back in 2019, and also 2019. Was the year that the Blues won the Stanley Cup, so that was the summer of anything being possible. I was drinking a lot of Hen, though.
There you go.
But what I was saying, just alcohol is it messes with me every single time. Like I still drink occasionally, but boy, do I like the next day I regret it so much. It's like you're just trading.
I can only have like
trading one day for another.
Trading one day for a week.
Yeah, a couple days for sure.
Yeah, I want like a drink to be social. I don't want to get fucked up anymore.
See, I have the problem. I do, and I have a moderation problem. So like, I try not to drink. Like
my emotions go everywhere.
Yeah, I have a hard time. Like the second I start having like one, two, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, I've accepted that, and that's because like when I was at my worst part of my health, I was taking a lot of pain meds too.
Mm.
I have a moderation issue. And so, and that fucked my head too.
Oh yeah.
I had no other outlet because I couldn't even work out. So I was taking a ton of Tramadol, which would just screw with my head. I have zero moderation control. And so I had to completely cut that out. I'll still use it here and there. Do I recommend it? No, but sometimes you need it. There's a time and place for prescription medications. I'm not a zealot that's going to tell you absolutely never. But going back to alcohol, I mean, I applaud you, Zach. I'll never forget. I never told you this. We were at one of our buddy Ryan's Schroeder's wedding a year ago. And I hadn't seen you in a while. And I saw you there. I don't know if you're doing 75 hard. Regardless, you weren't drinking.
I was. We were drinking. They had NA beer there. And I just remember like we and Gina had those and they had the koozies. I was like, oh, we can just hang on to these bottles all night. No one's going to say anything to us.
So you
just
drank the NA.
Yeah, we drank the NA beer because it's like, man, that's the worst part, at least for me. It was one of the hardest parts for me doing. I've done 75 hard 3 times.
Okay.
And I hate going to going out like many times go see like a lot of my old friends and they see you're not drinking and it's like a whole thing. And then you gotta, explain you're doing this thing for 75 so days. Yeah. Like, you're working out twice a day. You're a fucking psychopath.
That's, you know, bad for you.
It's like, bro, I'd rather just like pretend I'm drinking and not have to have this conversation. 100%. You know, like, I don't want to have to justify, you know, and like,
I've had someone tell me drinking a gallon of water a day is bad for you.
Right. And I'm just like, I'd rather just like sit here and have this bottle that I'm like taking a sip of every couple minutes, like just to like keep you from asking, you know, having to explain myself.
Yeah.
Just makes it so much easier.
I was drinking that night.
Yeah. Anyway, go yeah, back into the.
I was drinking. No, you're fine. I was drinking that night and quite heavily, and because I hadn't quite taken it out of my diet that much. And I remember thinking, "Damn it, Zach here making me look bad here. We're both entrepreneurs, but he's the one saying sober here." And I remember that kind of put something in my mind. I was like, "Jesus, like, why the fuck aren't I doing that? You know, I can try and get by in a wedding because weddings are tough not to drink, and
well, especially because you see people that you like. I mean." Especially for me. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't see a lot of those guys that we went to college with anymore. Like,
I don't either.
I don't hang out with them. It's not like by choice. It's just, yeah, no, it's just like all. We do different things and like, I've got a lot of shit going on and you know, we all just kind of drift apart. But
yeah.
So whenever I do get together with them, I'm like, oh man, it's like the boys are back together. Yes. I gotta, y'all, let's have some beers. It's like, takes me right back to college. Cause anytime we get together with a lot of those guys, it's like we're back in college again and like nothing's changed. Like we're still having the same like mannerisms and like inside jokes and like all the, like when I get together with Matt or Matt George, you know, Matt George, like it's like we're roommates for 4 years all through college. And like, we have all these like weird little inside jokes that I haven't like said or like thought about in years, but then we get back together and I'm like, we're bringing it up again. It's like, God, I haven't fucking heard that in forever. You know, it's just like, we just step, you pick up right where you left off and it's just it's awesome. But it makes me want to drink and hang out with these guys because it's like, oh, so one night I'm gonna see him for the next whenever, but and then the next day I'm always like fucking miserable just because I'm hungover because man, a couple beers and I definitely affects me the next day.
Like, mine got to the point where it was so hard for me to have self control where I woke up one morning while I was hungover and I was like, okay, I need to remember the way I feel right now and I need to write it down. So I made a chart. One column says sobriety, the other column says it said alcohol/drugs. And so sobriety said, okay, I spend more time with my family. I'm more present. My patient results are literally better. I have a lot more energy. My pain is less. I mean, I had a list of like 30 things. And then the alcohol was, you know, it puts me in a void to where I am just paralyzed doing absolutely nothing, no matter what, even though my anxiety is like heightened, I still don't do anything because I can't get off the couch. My pain is worse. I can't sleep. You know, all this different stuff. So sometimes when I want to drink or when I'm in pain and I want to take a Tramadol, I look at that note. I'm like, well, I don't want to feel like that tomorrow.
Right.
And it just kind of helps me. Yeah. So if you ever put yourself in that mindset when you're like in shit, write it down. That way you can look back and be like, okay, I don't want to feel like that again.
Oh, actually, hold on. I do want to get into, I know you're into biohacking and you do a lot of that.
Yeah.
Let's get into kind of what is your kind of routines that you've picked up through, you know, your findings with your injury and what's helped with that. And on top of just kind of what take us through kind of a week or day or, you know, what that looks like for you.
Yeah. Supplements I won't get into, just kind of the normal stuff, nothing crazy. Now what I've gotten into a lot is really just, improving the quality of my sleep. I keep everything very consistent. I do wear a CPAP machine.
I've been wearing this badass
with that. I have, yeah. It's a little spaceship. Like we were saying earlier, you know, I'm gearing my way towards carnivore. You know, I'm okay. Kind of 75% there. I take, you know, I'm on testosterone therapy. I also just started a month and a half ago, BPC-157.
Oh, really?
So I'm on that peptide. And right now I inject that into my shoulder, more around the scapular area where I get a lot of built up tension. Eventually, once that starts, you know, going down, fingers crossed, I'll probably start doing that more into like the abdominal section around like the renal section. That's what I typically recommend. I try to do cold plunge as much as often. I just don't have a good setup. I just moved recently to a new apartment, so I don't have a good setup. So that, you know, sauna is absolutely huge for me. I never miss a day for the most part.
How often are you doing that?
Sauna? Been a little bad the last week, but I try to do it. I was doing it every day at one point, but now probably, I don't know, maybe
sometimes. You do that five at the times gym a week. Or?
Yeah, I'll do it at the gym. Ideally, you know, you want to do an infrared, but you know, you can still do regular.
I like the hot saunas better.
It's funny you say that because I used to always do infrared, and now I've been back to a regular sauna.
Dude, I like it
more.
I like it miserable. I want it to be fucking
180,
200 degrees in there.
Because when you walk out and like you like pushed yourself.
I want to be fucking squirming that 5 minutes.
Like, I've had times.
I usually do 20 or 25 minutes, mm-hmm. depending on how much time I have. And if I do 20 and that, and I'm going to 20, if I'm going to 25 and I'm in my, once that timer hits like 18, 19 minutes, I am so ready to fucking get out of there. Dude, I'm playing fucking mental games.
I've almost passed out a few times if you
get out of here, if you step out of here, I have to like play mental games with myself.
Oh, 100%.
Like, if you, you know, your whole family's going to die if you step out of this thing right now.
I never use that one, but I like that.
Like, I'll play some fucking stupid scenarios. Yeah.
Hot just doesn't bother me like that.
I mean, when I'm in...
Cold bothers me.
When I'm at... I was definitely really into the cold plunges for a while, and then I've got one full of water in the backyard right now.
You probably need to clean it out.
Needs to get cleaned out. I need to swap that water out. It's been there for a while, but
I was laughing so hard not too long ago. Rogan was talking about how one of his buddies, whenever they go to do the cold plunge, she always has some excuse, like, I gotta take my socks off or something. And I'm like, that's so me.
100%.
Like, I'm like, I gotta pace real quick. I gotta take my socks. Now I've gotten really good at.
The timer's not.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like the song.
The song, yes. Like, you know, my favorite song.
The video's not set up. You know, like,
I love doing Tech N9ne. Right Riker.
Wow. I'll play that. You pick some of the most reckless music.
Which is interesting because I listen to soft music when I work out. I listen to Hans Zimmer and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cinematic scores.
Yeah.
Shout out to Hans Zimmer. He's been doing it for fucking 30 years.
He's going to be in Chicago. Next August, I'm going to go.
Sick.
Yeah.
Wait, next August or this August?
It's coming August. Yeah.
That might be something to do.
I'm going to go watch him in Chicago, and then I'm going to go watch...
Does he have like a philharmonic behind him or something?
Say that again.
Is it like a philharmonic with him or something?
Yeah, like a full orchestra. Oh. Yeah. I'm going to go watch the Lord of the Rings orchestra out in Twinsburg, Ohio.
You're a nerd.
And, well, it's quite a twin weekend because we're going to be in Twinsburg, Ohio for the twin festival, me and my twin brother. So Friday evening is watching Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, with the entire orchestra in the pit.
Oh, that's sick.
And then Saturday, me and my twin brother are going to go to the biggest twins festival in the world.
Anyway, Brett, we always ask all of our guests, it's called the Tombstone Game. And, you know, what would you like written on your tombstone? You know, here lies Brett Lux. Take a second to think about it if you need it.
Yeah, because I've been listening to you guys' podcast, and I heard that, and I was like, shit.
Got to put on my ear.
So I've been thinking about it. And I woke up this morning, I was like, still. So for me, I don't have one, you know, crisp, clean phrase.
Yeah.
But it's going to be, and this sounds kind of like untheatrical, but I want to be the person known as being reliable, meaning they know they can come to me to get the best. They know they can come to me and be honest and truthful. Honesty and truthful. I mean, I think our world lacks authenticity right now. And so that's something. But also, I just want to be known as the go-to person, like whether it be spine related, headache related, low back related. I want to be the go-to person who's trustworthy, but then I'll top it off, icing on the cake, still though, a child at heart, because I'm still a goofball. I mean, Zach and I, you know, when the mics were turned off, you know, we're laughing, we're talking about old times, and I'm still like that with my staff, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm real laid back when they know when I mean business, but I'm super laid back, and I want to be known as, you know, the reliable go-to expert, but also the person who's, you know, still fun and not this, like, serious, unnecessarily like strict zealot, you know?
Yeah, man, we gotta have fun.
Absolutely.
We're gonna go on a fucking big ass rock spinning in the middle of space right now, you know? Gotta not take ourselves so seriously.
Real.
So, all right, well, I think that's a good spot for us to wrap it up, guys. Thanks a lot for coming on the show.
Thanks for inviting me, guys.
It's a blast. You know, make sure if you aren't subscribed yet, hit that subscribe button for us. Follow along with the show. You know, new episodes every Monday and Thursday. Hit that like button, comment what you thought down below.
Shout out to our sponsors.
Yeah, shout out to our sponsors, NeuroGum and Fit Flavors. Use promo code podcast50. Make sure you go follow Brett on Instagram. He's got a great Instagram. He puts out a lot of content. They do a lot of giveaways and stuff on his social media. We didn't really get into that, but that's something Brett's doing. So make sure you go follow him at
Dr. Brett Lux.
Perfect. All right, we'll see you guys next time. Thank you.